It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Salty Seekers, where you can hang out with friends and talk about all areas of spirituality and the metaphysical while knowing you don't have to be pure love and light to do it.
Hello, and welcome back to the Salty Seekers. My name is Jay, and I'm here with Veronica today. How are you doing, V?
I'm good.
For a full disclaimer, you might hear my bull Massive running around upstairs. And another disclaimer, V has the giggles. And they are uncontrollable at the moment.
Oh my God, I'm trying so hard.
We've had to restart this a few times. So no, she hasn't been crying.
No. He's been, as soon as I call down, he'll say something that makes me laugh again and like I go off.
Her brain has resorted to 12-year-old boy this morning.
Yep. So this is, I'm either going to get it together. I've asked for help. I'm either going to get it together and get grounded or this is going to be a fun show.
You know, I let the vibes just, feel the rise. See, 12-year-old. This is going to be one of my favorites, I think. Oh, she giggles. Today, we're going to go back over some more viewer requests and questions and or, you know, that kind of thing.
Get my mouse. You got?
Grab my mouse over here.
Oh, my God. I have zero idea what's coming at me.
That's what she said. This is what this episode is going to be, just so you know.
I'm so sorry, you guys.
This episode is brought to you by a Tylenol Enhanced American.
Oh, my God. Ooh, every once in a while, you know, I have that part of my brain that's just like you said, like a 12-year-old boy that just finds everything dirty and funny and like, oh, my God. Yeah, I'm a hot mess. My glasses are all messed up now because I keep messing them up, laughing and crying. Oh, my God.
My face hurts from grinning. This is great.
Oh, man. Bear with me. You're either going to love this episode or you're going to really hate it. And if you hate it, just turn it off. It's okay. You know. We let the energy flow, and this is where we are right now. Surprise me. What do we got?
Hang on. Let me see if I can find the name in it. Let's see a name in this
Please
one.
Please don't be anything funny. Please don't
no,
be.
No, I don't see the name, but we'll read it anyway. It says, hi, Veronica. I've been listening to the Lyman Stargate Light Code. Activate your starseed DNA. I notice my body is vibrating to the music. Does this mean I'm a starseed? And what is a starseed? I was thinking you and Jay might explain what that is on your Salty Seekers podcast.
Well, thanks for listening. And I think she probably meant Lyran instead of Lyman.
I may have read that.
Yeah. No, probably just a typo. If you aren't familiar, Lyran, L-Y-R-A-N, Lyran from the planet Lyra, those are lion beings. And most of them don't live there anymore. They tend to live, they can live a few different places, but the ones I've dealt with live mostly in the Pleiades. They're technically Pleiadian, but they're not Pleiadian heritage. They'd be like Lyran Pleiadian because there was a big war on Lyra and they are now refugees, if you will. Anyways, so she's saying she was listening to meditations that are aligned to that Lyran energy. And when she's listening, she gets like vibrate-y. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a like yes, no answer. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you are a starseed. It means that your vibes are going up. You have some kind of gifts, whether it's clairsentience or something where you're feeling that energy and your body is responding. And the other thing I want to say is that given the fact that you're even drawn to a Lyran meditation tells me that you probably are a starseed. The fact that you're here in this day and age and have gifts and are drawn to that kind of thing tells me you're probably a starseed. So all the vibration is telling me is that your vibes are raising. You're feeling that energy going through. And that's totally normal. Keep going. What do you think? Have you ever had experiences like that when you're vibrating, feeling tingles, buzzing, vibrating?
As well established, my gifts in that area are not as strong as you, but I do occasionally feel stuff. I just,
right.
I don't really know what it means or associate it to any one thing. Usually it's just out of the blue. Like, what does this mean?
Right. A lot of times also, and I'm not saying this to like startle anybody, certainly don't be afraid of this, but also when people are, like if they astral travel, if they're trying to astral travel, a lot of times right before they're ready to pop out of their body, like when they're meditating, they'll start vibrating, but it's a different vibration. Like sometimes you can just feel yourself like vibrating, like other times you might get tingles, but when you're ready to like pop out, it vibrates stronger and slower. It's like more like
instead of just like it gives a like pulse.
Yeah, it feels more like a bass drum.
Child.
Sorry. I've tried so hard to be like.
Don't cut any of this out. This must stay.
No way.
This is a good humorous snippet for people to see. A new side of you.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So anyways, it's more like versus a bass drum, like your whole body will feel like, and it's deeper, slower, stronger vibration that has a beat to it. And I always get scared at that point and go, nope, don't want that. And so I'll try to like wake myself up because I don't want, historically speaking, I don't want to pop out of my body. So I've never gone all the way through with that, but I've definitely gotten to that point where I do feel that.
I don't have that experience. I would love to have that experience.
You haven't ever?
Not that I can remember.
Sometimes when I'm like falling asleep, I'm like half asleep, half awake. I can, or if I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm half asleep, like the veil is thin, I can feel that. I wake up and my body is just like.
I mean, every now and again, but it's not like we've talked about it. My experiences tend to be more auditory and visual than, you know, the feeling.
Interesting. So anyways, I hope that answered your question. If you have further questions, feel free to let me know. Drop us a comment.
It comes from, Lana Del Martinez. Says, the Holden Shift. Hey again, thank you so much for replying. But I also was thinking maybe the general concept of God and the afterlife and spirituality. Also, maybe how long could you stay in the afterlife before reincarnating? And if it looks different for different people, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this helps. It's a question about the afterlife. How does it look? Different concepts of God.
So that's a big question. To try to simplify it down for you, God is whatever you think God is. God is all things. And I'm using the term God because that's what I'm used to. You can choose the divine, Yahweh, whatever you want to call the creator force, whatever. I done laughed myself into an asthma attack. I'm like,
Well, get your, do you have a rescue inhaler? Go grab it real quick.
I do, but it'll just make me feel bad. I will if I need to. So anyways, God is all things. For example, if you are a Christian and you believe when you get to heaven that Jesus is going to meet you, he will. If you're an atheist and you believe that when you die, nothing is going to be there, that's what will happen for you, at least for a time, until you start to remember the truth of your eternal reality, and then some things will start to appear. But at least initially, you're just going to have a blank nothing existence. If you believe that, like I believe Spomi's going to be there, my family's going to be there, Jesus will probably be there, they will. God is whatever you want it to be. If you think Christianity is right, then it's right for you, etc. So God is all things. What God really is, not necessarily a being, it's a creative energy force that is all-knowing all things and full of divine love and compassion, full of understanding, loves, loves, loves to experience all of his creations. Just like, you know, Jay, you're really into train sets. Imagine that if you had like...
I think there was a Tylenol call out.
If you had like 20 different train sets, you would have fun playing with all of them. Like, you love trains. Like, they're all cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have a bunch of different pendulums. I think they're all pretty. I like to collect them. It's kind of the same thing. Like, there would be times where you play with all of, like, he likes to experience reality and creation through each of his little creations. And so that's how I see God. Infinite loving, creator, understands all things. And what was the other parts of her question?
Oh, let's see. How long could you stay in the afterlife before reincarnating?
Was that all pertaining to God, though?
Yes. I said the general concept of God in the afterlife and spirituality, then also how long could you stay there before you reincarnated? And then you answer the part of if it looks different for different people.
Got it. So as far as the afterlife, that can look like whatever you want it to look like. First of all, I don't think that there's just one place. Like, you're not going to just like show up at heaven and it's a big empty room and like all the people that have ever been existing are there. You're kind of there. You're part of everything, but yet you can have your own reality, such as I'm on Earth. I'm part of everything human. However, I have my own house I live in. I can go out and meet people, but I'm kind of doing my own thing. It's like whatever you want it to be. If you want to today dream that you are surfing on the sun, you are. If you want to dream you're building your own house and you're a lumberjack, you will be. If you want to come visit your family here and see how they're doing, you will. It's just a matter of there. It's like instant manifestation. So if you think it, it is. And it happens that fast. Now, also, while you are in heaven, though, you're preparing for your future lifetimes. You might not just be preparing for the next one. It might be the next several or several down the road that takes a lot of prep. But you take classes. You go to therapy. You take time to heal from whatever you've gone through. You take time to prepare for whatever you're going to be doing. You may need to take classes. You know, if you're going to come back and reincarnate because the plan is for you to become some astrophysicist and you're going to invent something that changes the world, you need training to know how that happens. You know what I mean? You need that innate ability to help with that. You need to know what the future plans are for Earth so that your soul can help go that direction. You take classes to prepare yourself on what's happening and what you're going to be doing. You're also meeting with your guides and with the councils that are kind of overseeing your case, if you will. There are different councils of wise masters and really evolved souls that help plan and coordinate. They're like project managers. They help plan and coordinate all of the lifetimes of you and the people in your soul family to coordinate, meet the needs, make sure everybody's learning the lessons. How are you going to rendezvous? What do you plan to accomplish in this lifetime? If they're like, you've really been on this trend of healing this particular wound, we're really making headway. This person that you always get a good response for is going to be incarnating. We think it would be best for you to be born as their child and you guys like really top off this lesson. And you're like, I was thinking I could go back and like be with none of them and work in the circus because, dude, I want to learn how to fly on a trapeze. And they're like,
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points, perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Probably not this time. Maybe next time. So you're working with your team to collaborate to nail down the plans for your upcoming lifetimes and who's going to be there. And then you get all your contracts signed and you get ready to go. Or you might choose to hang out for a little while. So everybody's different with how long they tend to stay there. It's not typical that it wouldn't be very long. First of all, remember that time doesn't really exist there. But in what we would think, you know, like you can either be there quick and come back on a timeline that's very short, very soon from when you last departed on this earth, so that they kind of butt up against each other time-wise, or you might not come back for 1,000 years in earth years, timeline-wise. Up there, it's really a moot point because time doesn't exist. But you might decide to have a little string of like super quick lifetimes. Experiencing grief is a huge lesson we have to go through. So sometimes someone might be born for 5 minutes. They do that so that the people playing those parents can experience the loss of a baby. Sometimes it's a couple years, you know, whatever. What are your thoughts, Jay?
We can go down so many rabbit holes. So you're talking about, well, it's no time there, but we can pop in 1,000 years into the future. Could you pop 1,000 years into the bag? Does linear time matter there?
Right.
As far as what's going on Earth?
Yeah, you can go either direction. For example, if you live 1,000 lifetimes, in any given lifetime, you might have a handful of them that are more closely related to this one, where you're doing the same things, working on the same stuff, have the same point of view. And then there could be a group of lifetimes that are like super chaotic, super dysfunctional. They're all kind of working in the same energies and they inform each other. But to your question, they don't always have to move forward chronologically on a timeline. You could decide to come live another lifetime, but it happened 2,000 years ago. So yeah, because time is only earthbound. Time is only here. It's a human concept. I mean, other places have time, but it works totally different. The way we think of linear time only happens here.
Quite neat.
But they can pop in and out at any point that they want. Yeah, it's just like opening a phone book and like picking a business name. You know, like we're just going to open randomly and point. Like the whole book exists at the same time. You choose where in the book you want to go.
I want to go to the fun parts.
Right. All right. What else do we have?
All right. Let me pull up the next one. Hopefully I'll say this right. It's S. Malario 828.
Okay.
They asked a question and then they really broke the question down in a second response to it. So the initial question is, hey, can you please make a video about demons, ghosts, spirits? What really are they? Why are they still on Earth? And they are, could there really be, quote, evil spirits? And then I reply the next day, they really broke it down. So one, are demons regular spirits like us? Do demons reincarnate? Where do demons live? Do spirits become corrupt or evil? Is this by choice? Why do some spirits stay here on Earth? Are they lost? Why do spirits haunt / possess? Are there different kinds of spirits? And do animals have their own spirits?
Dang. We could have done a whole episode. That's a lot of questions. Okay, so I'm guaranteed to forget most of that, so we're just going to have to pick it apart and go step by step.
Okay, I'll keep reading it.
Okay, so ghosts, what people think of ghosts, there's usually more than one answer to that. Ghosts, it's a disembodied soul. It's a soul that is passed on. They're no longer in a body. So they can either be just innocent and coming back to visit you. They could be traumatized or sad or grieving or holding on to something, so they choose not to pass over into the light and they stay more earthbound. Or it could be neither of those things and it can just be residual energy from something that used to be there. Kind of like, you know, I've seen TVs where a magnet or a computer screen where a magnet got too close and it left like a little white spot on the screen that just never goes away. You don't know what I'm talking about? Or like you push on it too hard. And
oh, no, yeah, I've got residual haunt stories, but that's a different episode.
Right. That'll be more for Halloween. So it leaves the mark there, even though there's nothing currently there. It's just residual from what used to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with some of these hauntings or spirits that you see. If you move into a really old house, or if you move onto a piece of land where a lot of trauma happened, maybe like some Civil War battles were fought there or something, there's a lot of energy left on that property. And so there may be nothing there currently, but you might access energy or like tapes that are replaying of things that used to be there. So that's ghosts. Most of the time, they're just souls that are passing through or that are coming back to visit and say hi. They're nothing to be afraid of. They're just here. Now, demons are demons. I mean, demons are either organically created, like meaning that like God created it, allowed their creation. They are just negative energies or entities. They're not people who turned into demons. They're just demons. They live in the lower astral, which is the fourth dimension, but they live in the very bottom of it. It's what we would consider hell. It's what it's a dark, ugly place. Sends out dark, ugly things. We tend to make it a little bit lighter and just call them tricksters. But I really do believe that there's different levels. Like a trickster is just more like an annoying dark thing that just wants to mess with you. There are also demons who are very malevolent and they're out to do some damage, if you will. Also, if there was a lot of dark energy in a place, a lot of chaotic energy, a lot of violent energy, something really bad happened. Or if you're a person who's just constantly thinking, I think something bad's happening, I think something's bad happening, you, by the power of thought combined with energy that's already there, you can actually manifest and create this swirling dark energy that turns into a being. You can create a demon. You can create a poltergeist. You can create these dark forces in your home, in your space, wherever, just by the power of your thought and intention of constantly thinking about it. So that's why you have to be very careful about what you're thinking and cleanse your space, cleanse your mind, keep your thoughts good, because you can actually create them. Now, actual demons, they live in the lower astral, which is like the bottom levels of the fourth dimension.
Do demons reincarnate?
No, because they don't live lives too. That would be like saying, does the devil reincarnate? I mean, the devil's the devil. He's not incarnating. He doesn't reincarnate. They just are. They aren't on the same path. Angels are just angels. They're angelic beings in service to the divine. That is who they are forever and eternity. Same with the demons.
All right. Do spirits become corrupt or evil, or is it by choice?
Spirits? No. I was going to say, like, I mean, people become corrupt and evil. And if you were a corrupt and evil, mean person, you might perhaps, not always, but you might perhaps carry that with you for a short time when you first die, especially if it was sudden or something where you don't realize you've died yet. Or you're just so bitter and evil when you're here that like you don't want to cross into the light and you stay as like an earthbound type of thing and you just carry that same toxicity with you until you decide it's time to let it go and cross over and heal. So in that sense, they can, but like not once they're over there. Like if your sweet little old grandma dies and she has never had a mean bone in her body and she crosses over, she's still going to be sweet grandma. She's not going to turn evil. You don't have to be afraid of her.
Okay. Why do some spirits stay on Earth?
Well, if they are really attached to someone, if they were like super in love, if they had a child that they left that they're like, I'm not crossing over and risking, and I'm not saying this is a true risk, but this might be something they're telling themselves. I'm not crossing over and risking not being able to come back and see my child, help my child, be near my child. I'm not crossing over until my child dies too, type of thing. It could be if you pass over and you're just so grief-stricken to be that you did not want to die. You have these babies and you just feel anchored to this earth until that starts to heal a little bit. You may have lived a really rotten life. And although we know that there's nothing but love over there for you. Like, that Christian concept of hell isn't necessarily a real thing. If you die and you think it is, you might be like,
it's getting hot in here.
Yeah, you might be like, I ain't going into that light. Because I know what's waiting for me over there. I ain't going there. I'm going to stay right here. So, I mean, people have different reasons why they might stick around. If you die unexpectedly, sometimes you're just super confused and you have no idea what's happening. Eventually, your guides come to help you and everything, but they usually let you figure it out a little bit, is my understanding.
That bums me out. That really bums me out.
Why?
Because, you know, some people will be afraid of that. And so they're not going to go because by the power of their own creation, they're gonna see hell. But some people that I want to see hell, I know that's effed up of me, are those really arrogant Christians that will tell you you're going to hell, but they live rotten. But by the power of their creation, yeah, I'm straight going to heaven.
I have seen near-death experiences I watch a lot of those on YouTube, at least I used to. I see people who have experienced hell. And when I asked Spomi about it, he said that they respect whatever your belief is. And so if you lived a life that you believe would earn you a place in hell, typically they allow you to experience that at least for a little while until you decide, please help me. There has to be more. Like, where's the light? Like, you start to remember, wait, this isn't right. Like, this isn't who I really am. And then the light tends to appear and rescues you. But if you really believe that that's your reality, you'll experience a version of hell.
Yeah, with some of them, though, they live a real snotty life, but they firmly believe, I'm going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're lesser than.
Right.
Those, that crowd.
Yeah, and one time I asked Spomi, I'm like, so when they actually get there, they'll realize that they were wrong the whole time, huh? And he goes, why do you want them to do that? And I'm like, well, because that's the truth and because I want them to know that, like, they weren't always right. And he's like, exactly, that's your ego.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't need to worry about it. And I'm like, get this Spomi smack down. Get out of your ego.
No, get into yours.
Yes, Spomi.
Yeah. So any of these spirits that are still here on Earth is a two-part question. Or could any of them be lost, just truly lost? Mm-hmm. You know, they're just lost. I didn't know what direction to go, or don't know. I'm lost.
Yeah, like I just said, you can either be confused or something. Like, you don't know what happened. You don't know where you are. You're just kind of confused. And if it's a lesson that your guides feel like you need to learn or experience, or if you're not open to hearing them yet, you have the free will to wander if you want. You know, but make no doubt that whether you're here or crossed over, your guides and angels are right there with you. They're watching all of it. But until you, as a spirit, are open and willing to hear and take direction or assistance, they probably won't be visible to you. But as soon as you are, they help you.
I have a feeling as soon as I die, I'm going to hear, hey, dummy, over here. Like, what? V, is that you?
You'll hear me laughing.
All right, so the next one is, why do spirits haunt or possess? And also, if you had an exorcism and for a possession and they got it out and you couldn't pay, do you become repossessed? No, that wasn't part of it. That was just fun for me.
Oh, my God. well, I think I pretty much already answered that, didn't I?
Well, the possession part, I think, would be the unique.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
One there.
Why do they possess? Well, because they're jerks. Like, they want what you have. If you were a demon and your goal was to, like, wreak havoc and to scare people and to, you know, have power and control, I mean, imagine how cool it would be to get inside of someone else's body and, like, freak everybody out, do some damage,
you
hurt
spray
some
tan.
People.
I'm gonna keep doing that.
You know, imagine how cool that would be. Like, you could really have some impact. You could do a lot of damage in this world if you got in there and you were able to physically hurt some people, and you could bite people or scratch them or scare the shit out of them. Like, as a demon, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, their job is to cause destruction and chaos and confusion and fear and all those dark, lower, icky things. So, I mean, that's why they do it. If they have an open portal, it's like if you're a car thief and you see that someone left like a Porsche sitting there with the keys in the thing and the door is open and like no one's in it, you're going to get in and you're going to take the car. So if you leave yourself open and vulnerable and you're in a low vibrating state and aren't taking care of yourself energetically, and or if you're drinking is a very big way to open your door to vulnerability. And I'm not saying having a drink. I'm like, if you are like knockout drunk, you're not in possession of your own faculties, you're very vulnerable to dark forces jumping in there and taking you for a little joyride.
Are there different kinds of spirits? Do animals have their own spirits?
That's a tricky question for me because I'm prone to say yes. Okay, here's the dilemma. I'm just going to lay it out. Okay. I don't know. The reason I say that is because I'm told yes, but they're not the same as humans, and that humans are on their own incarnation path. Animals are on their own reincarnation. They're used as a tool to bring love, to bring service, to bring restore faith in humans. They're here as a helper tool, like little angels. We don't deserve dogs. They're amazing. And so they're different than humans. But then you have people who have the belief system that like you experience all the things, which means you experience being a rock, you experience being a dog, you experience being a frog, you experience all the things. So I know that Spomi has told me no. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I like to believe they do. Like, I raise animals and they all have their own personalities, and
yeah,
I mean, they're neat to watch. And so, I mean, I hope they do anyway.
Well, what I mean is that I think that they definitely have souls. They definitely, for sure do. And they definitely reincarnate. But I don't know that it's in the same way as we do. They may reincarnate and come be your pet again, or come be someone else's pet in a different doggy body or something. But they don't necessarily reincarnate and become your grandpa or your dad or, you know.
They got that dog in them.
They got that dog in them. And so, anyways, a lot of people would disagree with that. I'm just going for what Spirit has told me. And I know that there are conflicting views out there.
All right, this wasn't one of the questions, but a bonus one. You used the phrase, so the difference between spirits and poltergeists.
Spirits are actual disembodied souls, disembodied spirits. You know, they used to be a person. They're no longer a person. They are a soul that can be, if they choose, incarnated into a body. A poltergeist isn't a real thing. A poltergeist is like a bundle, a swirling cloud of frenetic energy that is created by chaos or trauma or low vibes in a space that is created by humans, if you will. I don't know if it can take on an intelligence of its own. I would say it does on some level, but it's not like a thinking, creative being. It's just dark energy that's moving all over and throwing dishes and slamming cabinets and shaking beds. And I think that it might have a level of intelligence in the sense that, like, if it starts to die down or dissipate at all, it gets hungry and it can, like, scare you and feed off your fear again. And I don't know enough about it to say all of that for certain, but that's what it is. A poltergeist is never going to incarnate as somebody. It's a created thing.
I don't know. My daughter, she leaves cabinets open, drawers, throws stuff.
Yeah, but she's a sweet little nugget. She's not. She's a sweet little nugget. She's not a created demon.
Why is it demon? Energy. I just said poltergeist. There's stuff flying around.
But so, yeah, I try to use poltergeists can have demonic energy. They can have very dark demonic energy.
When I take her tablet, that's.
Yeah, she's like,
You try to apply some of like the things we're talking about. There's a place up here, an old Tyson plant that burned down. And, you know, everybody says it's haunted now. And so it's like, Is that residual energy, spirit energy, or, you know, since they lost that many birds, is it poultrygeist?
Shut up.
All right, I'll move on to the next question. I'll be here all day.
Okay.
This one's just a one-liner question. See, how to begin a spiritual life by seeking. I don't have a name on it, but thank you for your question.
Really, that's all there is to it. Seek and the answers will come to you. You have to seek and then pay attention. And it would look different for every person. It'll look different for every situation. But really, the first step is just to wonder what's out there. What is there? Is there more? Is spirit real? Is reincarnation real? To any point of entry, like, just wonder, is there more? And then answers will start coming, whether it's you see a YouTube video, you see a TikTok, you find an article in a magazine, you talk to a friend who starts talking about this stuff, and you're like, oh my God, I've just wondered about that.
Or this weird lady keeps popping up on your YouTube, and like, why do I keep seeing her? I've never subscribed. Who is this person?
And I'm like, hi. I'll become your new bestie. Yeah, really, your guides are up there waiting for you to seek, waiting for you to get curious, and waiting for that first little permission slip where you're like, is there more? And they like jump into action and start synchronizing things. And then just follow the steps, whatever those steps look like for you, you know, start meditating, start reading books that interest you, start watching videos that interest you. Just put one foot in front of the other. That's all. I mean, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You don't think about like the whole big picture. You just start with what is the next right thing to do. That's how you handle anything in life. That's how you clean your house. You know, you can't think, oh my God, my whole house is such a mess. It just becomes overwhelming. You don't know where to go or where to start. What is the very next right thing I can do? I see a pair of shoes on the floor right in front of me. Let me pick them up. You know what I mean? Just you start where you are and you take one step and then you take another.
I scream first though. All right. So on to the next question. Let's see. This one comes from Rana_CX. Hi, I have a question. Could you make a video about orbs? Ooh, I like orbs. Because I asked my guide if he wants to tell me something, and he always sends orbs. By the way, I asked Bomi if he could tell you that. I don't know if you received it about my orb question. Still, thanks for reading this, and thank you for making the videos, which, spelled which is which. Which. And it helped me a lot. Thank you for everything. Sorry, my typos. I'm still learning English. Hey, you're learning English and it's better than my English. Congratulations.
Yeah, there you go.
I speak Southern.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't get your question. The truth is that typically when I think of orbs, either I'm excited I finally saw one because they don't happen very often, or I'm thinking about Jonathan because he sees them. And I'll be like, ooh, I wonder if he saw that, or I wonder what he's seeing. So if I got anything about orbs sent to me, it probably did not make me think of you. So I'm sorry. Accept my apologies. So what was it she was wanting to know about the orbs?
I guess her guides are keep saying orbs.
I don't know. That's the honest answer. I don't know. Everybody's so different. Maybe they just know that you're clairvoyant and they want you to develop that gift. A couple tips about orbs is that typically you don't see them straight on as much as you'll see them out of the corner of your eye. Sometimes you do. Jonathan does, often. But do you get that corner of the eye phenomena too, where you'll see a twinkle or an orb? Or
not as much. I see movement out of the corner of my eye, like something flies by or moves. Yeah, maybe it's an orb, maybe not, but it's just, I'll notice, but I can't catch it. When I do see orbs, they're almost dead on, or they're moving past me, and they'll be different colors. Sometimes they're different. Well, no, they're always different colors. Sometimes they'll have a tail, or because they'll be moving fast.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes they hang there.
Like a comet.
Yeah. Sometimes they're just hanging there. Or I saw a grid of them the other day, which was just sitting there going, well, that's pretty cool. But yeah, my favorite one is it was just hanging in the air, probably about yay big, blue ball, just 3 a.m. illuminating the dark.
Yeah, I don't get that. I get corner of the eye. Or like if I'm watching TV, I'll see one appear up here, or a sparkle or a twinkle above the TV or something, and I'll look and I'll be like, I saw that. And so maybe they just know that clairvoyance is one of your strongest gifts and they're wanting you to develop that or something. But beyond that, I don't know the answer to that question. Why are you telling me that?
With, you know, I don't know if you're seeing them yet. My thought or hope with it is they're getting you used to seeing something. And that's probably the most mundane thing to start seeing out of nowhere. Because I, you know, we've talked about this. I imagine if...
I wouldn't think it's mundane. I would think it's super cool.
Let me finish the statement. It's the most mundane thing you could see to prepare you to start seeing more. Because if they started with just a pretty color, I'm like,
got it.
Startled me a little bit, but I, that's amazing. But if they start with just a floating face.
Right.
It could be that, you know, your gift is starting to come online and this is how they're warming you up because they know they want to scare you.
If you aren't seeing them yet and they keep telling you orbs, maybe they're just preparing you for that, the eventuality of when you do see these, please know that they're from us. You don't have to be afraid type of thing, or take that as a sign that your gifts are developing. Yeah. I agree with that.
But if you start seeing them, share. I love this topic.
Yeah, for sure.
I may not be clear sentient, but I can see orbs. Let me find our next question. Ooh, it's a long one. This one comes from Wendy.
Hey, Wendy. Your doggy is active today.
He's a good boy. The bull mastiff. He's a good boy.
I'm sure he's a good boy, but like I don't normally hear him at all.
He wants belly rubs.
And he is active today.
I think Emma, my daughter, is probably in there messing with him.
Aww.
I've hurt her feet a couple times, so yeah, sometimes she'll go in there and she'll play with him and want to scratch his head. And he's gentle with her, because if you want to lunge his weight at her, not aggressive, like if you ever, big dogs are play different than little dogs. Big dogs throw their body weight on you.
Do you remember when I told you the other night I was having a dream about a big brown goat?
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, when I looked at it and, like, smiled at it, I felt love towards it, like, oh, hi. And it, like, leaned on to me.
Mm-hmm,
it put its weight on me and, like, to show affection.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it did in the dream. And when I was like, oh, hi, and I, like, started to scratch its head or something. And then we had to stop it because it went to, like, fully, like, flop onto my lap. And we were afraid it's going to break our legs. Someone was sitting next to me. We were like, whoa.
Yeah, I was ready for a full cuddle.
Yeah, because it was heavy. But that's exactly what it did to show affection. It, like, leaned on me.
Yeah, that's how the larger dogs do. They'll throw the whole body weight and try to pin you down. You're going to love me, and you're going to love me now.
Kind of like me.
I just throw it on you. Don't bring the giggles back.
Okay.
All right.
What's next?
Back to Wendy's question.
Okay.
All right. Hello, I'm Wendy, and I'm 19 years old, and I just started using my new pendulum. Aren't you young? I'm close to that age. She's not.
He's got jokes.
Mentally.
Okay.
I started asking my spirit guides about their names and more. Now I'm asking questions about my past lives, and for that subject, I've asked them to...
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Meter, feel Metatron and the energy, and it's amazing, like you said. But for like one life, it's kind of giving me confused answers. And I already know that maybe my vibes weren't high enough. I still have two questions for you. Can Metatron give me specific details about my past lives? My energy, parentheses, vibes, have to be high for more detail and answers. Because I was feeling good and happy in the moment when I was asking about it, but it still is giving me confused answers. Because one time said that the name was right, and the other time said the name, I guess, wasn't right. Maybe it was a trickster, and now I'm starting to think about it, but I don't think so. I'll wait for your answers, and thank you so much, Wendy.
Wendy, it doesn't sound like your vibes are high enough, boo-boo. Metatron is very cool. And yes, technically, he can give you answers about your past lives. I mean, he is in charge of the Akashic Records, which if you don't know, that is the library on the other side where the records of all that has been and all that will be are kept. So he has access to all of that information. So technically the answer to that is yes. The other part of that answer is if you're ready for that information, if it's in your best interest to have it, if your guides say it's okay. So you won't necessarily get that information simply because you ask for it. The other thing is that even if he's there and you can feel his energy or something, if you're not getting accurate answers through your pendulum, that means that you're probably connected to a trickster. There can be two people in the room. There can be two people on the phone. You know what I mean? So like, even if he's there, you can still have a trickster jump in there and like take over and be spelling the pendulum. With that being said, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. If your vibes are super low, not even super low, if your vibes are low, they're not high enough to make a good, solid, consistent connection. Metatron or anything high vibrating, your guides, whoever, they can be sending you the answers, but it doesn't mean you're receiving them well. It's like if you're on the phone with someone and they're going through a tunnel or they're in a place with bad signal, they're talking clearly and they're giving you answers, but you might only hear every third word or something else comes through all scrambled and, you know, staticky. They might be sending it, you're not receiving it. On one of my videos, I talked about how I kept getting the answer, pink Snoopy. And I'm like, what, pink Snoopy? There's no pink Snoopy here. And later, when I went back at a different time and I asked again, they're like, pink slippers. And I'm like, oh.
So you can't spell.
Well, it was because I was tired. My energy was depleted. I had worked all day and I had no business being on that pendulum. And they kept trying to tell me, but it was coming through as pink Snoopy and it was incorrect. But it was because I didn't have any business being on there. So I hope that this helps. Keep meditating. Keep doing different things to raise your vibes. Keep plugging away at the shadow work, trying to purify all those different levels of your being to help you to be a clear channel for when that information comes through.
Okay, so the next question comes from slayme_yes. Yes, queen. All right, hi, guys. So I don't know what the likelihood of this happening, but especially since pendulums can be kind of tricky, but I was wondering if you guys could do an Ask Your Spirit Guide or Ask Spomi type thing in the future. Yeah, I think it would be really cool. Love you guys. Love the pod.
It would be cool. I have to think about that logistically. It's not always feasible. I mean, we could certainly do questions you send in and I'll try to get you some answers, but it might not happen live on the air because, as I've talked about many times, Spomi tends to be a man of few words. Takes a little prompting sometimes. Spomi can be a man of few words and I usually have to like, come on, give me more. Give me more for the people. Give me more for the people. And so it takes a little bit of time to get those answers. So anyways, if you have Ask Spomi questions, send them in. I'll see what I can do. And just so you know, a lot of people have requested that. You are not alone. I've gotten multiple requests to bring the Ask Spomi series back. And so we might send me questions, you guys. I get a lot of questions asking if I will, but not a lot of questions for Spomi. So I'm willing to just send me some questions. All right.
All right, on to the next one. And I'm pretty sure I responded directly to this person, but we can answer it for everybody because always there's more people with the same question.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hey, Salties, I need help. I'm struggling with comparing myself, my gifts, my experiences with other awakened people. I have friends who have such amazing experiences and I want to have them as well. I fear that my eagerness is blocking me from opening my gifts. How can I just be?
You really have to detach from the outcome of that. You have to just be okay with, if nothing ever happened, that's okay. If you are just working on the things that will better your life, if you're meditating, if you're living life with intention and doing things that are in alignment with where you want to go and with who you are, if you're doing the things you need to do, then it is a natural consequence of those things that if you have gifts that can open, that they will start to do that. So you don't have to force it. You can't force it, but you don't have to try to force it. You don't have to stress about it. You just have to stay the course. And when the time is right and they are supposed to open and you've reached the point where it's most beneficial for them to open. And let me say this, I stress meditation a lot and that is a major key component. I will never go back on that. But that's not the only thing you have to do. You can only get so far without doing more. More would be the shadow work. If you have major traumas or major things that are blocking your various chakras and stuff, like, you have to take care of that stuff. You have to take responsibility for becoming a healed and clean vessel before things really start popping off and opening up. Work on those things. And if you are, it's going to happen. Same goes for the people in your life. If they want to open them up, they have to do the things they got to do. So really, you just have to release the outcome. Release expectations. Expectations are the, what is the quote? Expectations are the
They're the cause. Devil. Oh, sorry.
They're the cause of all disappointment or all hurt feelings, essentially. They really are. Release the expectations. What will be, what's meant for you won't miss you. Not if you're doing the work. And just trust that it's going to unfold the way it's supposed to unfold.
But on top of that, I bet your experiences are amazing. We often look at other people's experiences. I look at hers all the time and I'm like, I want that. But I bet if you came on here and told us what you were experiencing, both of us would be like,
we'd be like, oh, that's so cool.
That is so awesome. Yeah, so, you know, don't undersell yourself and just, you know, just keep doing you. I think it's amazing. I think it'd be great.
Learn how to work with the gifts that you have. And what I mean is, a lot of people don't think that they have a whole lot going on, but like, they really do.
Like, I have a great personality, but that's where it stops.
And so learn how, if you have clear audience, for example, learn how to hear your guides and in what way you hear them. If you have clairvoyance, like, my clairvoyance shows up totally different than Jonathan's most of the time. He sees externally the orbs and the things. I don't typically. I see internally. I'll get like visions in my mind. They look like little memory tapes playing in my mind, or images that pop in. Clairaudiently, I don't hear externally very often. I hear internally. I'll get songs that play. I'll get a voice that comes to me. I'll just get information that pops in. Everybody's gift looks different. You just have to learn how to recognize your gift. Because I used to think I didn't have anything. I used to think I wasn't clairvoyant or clairaudient because I wasn't getting the information out here. Then I learned that most people don't. And I had dreams. Spomi gave me dreams where he was helping me to recognize my gifts. And then I woke up and I was like, oh, I have that. Like, I was shown in my dream, I do that. And so then I started recognizing when he was talking to me and I'd get information, or I was getting these psychic hits or these downloads, and I could start working with them better then, because I learned to recognize the way my body manifested those gifts. So be patient and just get to learn yours and stop trying to keep up with the spiritual Joneses, if you will. Just be comfortable where you are in your skin and trust that it's going to be exactly how it's supposed to be for you.
And don't beat yourself up on it. We all see something and we love it. It's a human experience.
It's a human experience. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn that, like, it's all in you the whole time. Your intuition is right there. Your gifts are right there. It's all inside of you. It's not external. It's all internal. Just trust the process. Celebrate yourself. Ask your guides for help recognizing it and developing it.
I would love for you to respond and tell me some of your stories. I'm telling you, I bet I'd be amazed.
Yeah, I agree.
That'd be that little boost you need. It's like, wait a minute, I got something awesome going on. That goes for anybody. I would love to hear stories.
Yeah. Same. Tell us your cool stories. Tell us what's the coolest thing you've ever had happen with your gifts, that kind of thing. We'd love to hear this kind of stuff, right? What else we got, Jay?
That's the last. Well, we had the other question was a book recommendation. I have to go find my old book. I read that particular book. Maybe one of the first ones I read.
Are they just asking for a book recommendation? Oh, the person asking if we would read it. Okay.
We read it and go over it like we did with the I Am Raw.
I have started listening to it this morning.
It's down here somewhere with me. I got to go get it and take it back out.
I think the book would have been better. I asked for audiobooks, and this is one, but it's very old recording. Like, sounds like from the 60s or 70s, and it's just
far out, man.
Hard to listen to, but I'm going to. All right. Well, You guys, thank you so much for sending in your questions. Mm-hmm. And if anyone else has more questions,
stories,
send them in.
Send some stories.
Yeah, stories and questions. Sometimes we can just read off stories.
Mm-hmm.
We are pretty packed for the rest of season two, but we would certainly add them to the list and get to them in season three.
Oh, here's a good one.
Right after New Year's.
We have to film this later, but it's going to be our Halloween one where we're just going to talk about ghost stories. And I'll run out of them, so share.
I don't have any, so.
She does. She just want to talk about them.
I honestly don't know that I do. I'll save it for then. Mine's more clairsentient-based. Yeah, but it is clairsentient-based. Like, my whole life, my horror stories are, I can feel something dark here. I can feel something creepy.
Mm.
But I have no stories of, like, I've seen something creepy. I had doors shut open, cabinets slammed. None of that. It's just, I was there and, oh, that felt dark. That felt creepy. I was really scared. But it's all clairsentient. I have no stories for you as far as, like, things that happened.
I only have one real good clairsentient story of that nature. We'll cover that later, but that makes me wonder, you know, because how much more in tune you are versus me is like, how epic was that, that I was feeling it that way? And then I wonder, damn, how would she have handled that?
Yeah, I don't want to think about it.
Immense amounts of despair, depression, and grief. It was just overwhelming from this one particular place I had arrived, and I'm looking around like, what's going on here? So I don't feel like that. I don't normally pick that kind of thing up.
Right. So if you guys have any ghosty stories, creepy stories, where your gifts have really popped off, or where maybe you had a haunting in your house, you all know that, like, this isn't my favorite topic, but in honor of Halloween, we are going to do some filming. So within the next week or so, get them to us. Get us the information in the next week or so, and we will cover your story on our episode. All right, y'all. Thanks for hanging out, and thanks for your questions. If you have any more, get them to us.
We love you. And you're all amazing. Remember that.
Bye, guys.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points, perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.